Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Glad to have you with us on a Monday, and in 20 minutes or so, we will dive into what an awful week it was for one Major League Baseball team. We'll tell you who that is, as John Morosi will join us. Get Aaron on Twitter at @Aaron_Torres. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. Aaron and I have been hanging out for the last 2 hours talking about a lot of different things, but really kind of around football, Aaron, because it's the Carson Wentz injury. We had the Quinn Ewers news of him bypassing or graduating early from high school and going to be enrolling at Ohio State in the next couple of weeks. So he will not be playing his senior high school football season because he wants to capitalize on name, image, and likeness. Just heard from Colin Cowherd a little while ago talking about the Colts and how they've done everything right, and they still can't get their quarterback position correct. So just a lot of football. And I have to say, I am not even near full of football talk. Like, I can the Texas and Oklahoma realignments into the SEC that we've had over the last week or two, that has helped fulfill some of my need and my craving for football. Seeing training camps underway everywhere across the NFL. We've got a preseason game coming up on Thursday. Even with all that happening, Aaron, my need for football is still so unfulfilled because I'm just so looking forward to the upcoming seasons, both in college and in the pro game.
I'm with you, and I will say, you know, there was a lot of tragedy that came out of COVID, but having the sports calendar kind of flipped on its head, I think, has made for an entertaining summer where we went straight from, frankly, March Madness. We got a little break. Then we went to the NFL draft. Then, you know, we had some free agency stuff. We had trades. We have, the NBA playoffs starting, going into the middle of July as opposed to early August. And now we're here. And so, like you said, I am fired up for the start of preseason football this week and cannot wait. And I'm with you, man. It's good to have football back. I love hoops, but it goes without saying I'm excited to have football as well.
And I love hoops too, but this is where I think we have to be honest with ourselves. And this is what I wanted to get off my chest.
Say it.
Because I look at what's happened. You mentioned the sports calendar kind of turned upside down. Think about where we were last year at this point. We were just starting the bubble games in the NBA in Orlando. Mm-hmm. That was a year ago where games were trying to wrap up the regular season, playing their final 7 or 8 games that they had before the playoffs had even started. That's where we were a year ago. So you had an NBA Finals season go from starting now until mid-October. Then you had 7 weeks off, and then we had the NBA season again. And you're talking to a guy who is a Milwaukee Bucks fan yeah. who was on cloud 9 sure. for days after the Bucks won the NBA title. It actually still feels good to say, but it also feels good to say this in a week where it's going to be news filled because NBA free agency is underway. I just have to say, at what point can we stop talking about the NBA? Doug and I have said on this program, Aaron, when Doug's in and I'm at the news desk, the NBA is exhausting. And it's because it's such a gossip middle school sort of league
sure.
where talk is everywhere and things are moving around. And what got to my boiling point and where I just said, just give me some freaking football. Give me some college football. Give me the NFL, NBA. Just stop for a second. Was when I heard the breakdown of what Kyle Lowry could mean to the Miami Heat. And it just, like, I got to the point of, all right, I'm done. I just, can we stop talking about the NBA and can we focus on what's happening in the NFL? Because I truly believe In the argument of, you know, NFL ratings and what's happening with the NBA ratings, a lot of times it becomes political. This has nothing to do with politics, Aaron. It's just the fact of, I think there are way more football fans, especially if you combined college fans and NFL fans compared to fans of the NBA.
Sure.
And I would even say that NBA fans, because half the league doesn't make the playoffs, maybe their interest isn't as strong as other teams, but those fan bases aren't even engaged into what their team is doing. Like the Bucks won the title. I'm not thinking of repeat. I'm just still coasting on the high of them winning. I need a break from the NBA. And I just need more football to fill that void. And I just need us to stop talking about the NBA at some point so we can at least get a rest. Because honestly, it has been nonstop since even more than a year ago from when bubble games were getting underway.
Yeah, and I think part of it too is, like you said, it's the gossipy nature of the league. I do think that there is an element of, you know, whatever reason, like, and some of it's just like, so the last week we're talking Russell Westbrook to the Los Angeles Lakers. Like in a lot of ways, that is a very interesting conversation. Do they fit? Do they not fit? All that good stuff. But I would also say on the flip side, like, does the average sports fan feel bad for LeBron James because he lost in the first round of the playoffs this year? You know, and like, yeah. And I think there's an element of, you know, I don't know how to say it, but essentially that, like, a lot of these moves are made, and one, first of all, do any of them have any impact? Kyle Lowry to the Miami Heat, I don't know. I don't know that Vegas is rushing to the window to alter the NBA Finals odds going into next year if Kyle Lowry goes back to Toronto or goes to Miami or goes to wherever. But I also just think a lot of them, I guess if you want to call them first world problems, you could call them first world problems, but nobody feels bad for LeBron James that he lost in the first round and now he feels like he has to shake up his entire roster. Nobody feels bad, by the way, for Kawhi Leonard for opting out of a $36 million contract for next year. Like nobody. So, you know, you look at some of the stuff from the NFL. I think the, you know, the draft, it creates hope. It creates opportunity. Free agency creates hope, creates opportunity. The NBA, I think it's a number of variables. One, like you said, it just feels like the season itself has basically been going on for about 13, 14 months now. But also, it's just, you look at some of these storylines and it's like, yeah, I don't really want to talk about the Lakers. We talk about LeBron for 9 straight months once the season starts. I don't need to overanalyze how much Russell Westbrook is going to impact things a year from now.
Let me ask you this true question, and maybe this is too candid for network radio.
Uh-oh.
But when you and your buddies talk shop about sports, do you talk about LeBron James?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
When you and your buddies, like your, you know, sure, buddies, sure, from college or high school, whatever, if you're exchanging texts, are you talking about LeBron James in those texts?
So I will try to answer this quickly and throw it back to you. But what I would say is rarely is it any more about basketball. It's about, he said this, oh my goodness, that, oh, Westbrook, oh, you know, like, oh, he goes to the podium and all he's talking about is Space Jam. Like, it's more, and that's the unfortunate part about LeBron, is I think sometimes we lose how great of a basketball player he is because there's so much off the court drama that comes with it.
Sure. I can go through my texts with a bunch of buddies from college, different group texts. We're talking about his Big Ten guys. We're talking about the SEC. We're talking about what the Big Ten needs to do. We're talking about fantasy football. We're talking about, I'm looking at the screen right now, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Like, there's more talk about stuff like that than there is of, hey, you know, hey Simon, you think LeBron James is going to get the Lakers back to the final? Like, I don't talk like that with my buddies. You know, like, it's not that. And the point is it's such a popular Twitter topic.
Sure.
It's so popular on Twitter, but I like to think of this format, this sports talk show, is the stuff that you talk about with your buddies. And I think at times it just gets too much. And this is not meant to be a rain on LeBron. I just think it's with the NBA because I see Twitter and I see, you know, this is what Kyle Lowry would do for the Miami Heat. And like, who cares? The team just got swept in the first round of the NBA playoffs, you know, where we can't even take like 2 months to just recharge our batteries, which, by the way, we're in August now. So guess what? At the end of next month, NBA training camps will be getting underway. So we need a bit of a break. And that's just my whole point. And I know it's saying it on the week where NBA free agency is about to happen. But to me, it's just, man, you know, I need a break from this. Well, it's like too much sun on a hot day.
That's a good analogy. Let me jump in. And what I would say is, and I've said this quite a bit, I think relative to the actual interest, the NBA is by far the most overcovered sport. And I actually think college football is the most undercovered sport. And I always put out this tweet 2, 3, 4 times a year because I think the average, you know, consumer, the way that we talk about the NBA would be stunned at how much college football. So I just looked it up. So the season opener 2 seasons ago, so this was pre-COVID, was Florida and Miami. It did 7.4 million viewers in week 0, week 1 of college football. That's equivalent of NBA Finals games this past year, Dan. And that's not a knock on your Bucks, and that's not a knock on the Suns, and it's not to get political, mm-hmm. and it's not to say this, and they did that. It's to say that people love college football. And that's one thing, whether it's my Saturday show with Arnie Spanier, whether it's, you know, when I have an opportunity to fill in for Doug or for Chris or Rob or whoever, you know, I always try to you know, do a show that's reflective of what the audience wants. And I think it's so easy to fall into those 2, 3, 4 topics that may work for a specific host or a specific, you know, time frame or whatever. But there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in sports. Dan, I'll say this real quick. One, I think the Simone Biles stuff, and some of it became inappropriate, obviously, I thought it was some of the most interesting conversation, sports talk, I have seen on any level, anywhere. I thought this Olympic story about the double gold medal was fascinating. Mm-hmm. But it was funny because I was just talking to Ramos and Lee about it in the break. Was I went to producer Lee yesterday and said, is this important enough for us to talk about on our show? And so I bring it up to say, the sports world is this great, expansive place. I do love the NBA. People would think I don't like it the way I criticize it sometimes, but relative to how we cover it and relative to the actual interest, I don't think the two things mesh, if that makes sense.
No, it's very fair. And when I just, it was, you mentioned the Bucks and the NBA Finals and the Suns. That's even kind of part of the problem that I have is, you know, as a Bucks fan, and this happens with, you know, because it's personal to you, people are criticizing that finals. Ah, nobody cares. Nobody watches. Okay, you're telling me nobody cares about the NBA Finals, but you're worried about Kyle Lowry going to the Miami Heat.
And let me
that's the thing that like so annoys me is that I was told for weeks that who cares about the NBA Finals, what a disaster it would be, but yet I'm supposed to be interested in Kyle Lowry going from the Raptors to the Heat. Well, like what are we doing here?
And
like
let me jump in ahead. Real quick. No, because this was an argument on Saturday night for 3-4 straight weeks. I got in with my buddy Arnie Spanier, and I love Arnie, love working with him, but his argument was nobody's gonna care if LeBron's not there. And I said, well, first of all, isn't that sports? Like, one, isn't it sports of, you know, at some point the king gets knocked off the throne? But then two, like, why aren't I don't believe that people aren't interested. And I think in many ways, one, it was good for the NBA when it was the Bucks and Suns. I thought it was great exposure for Chris Middleton, for Devin Booker. I thought the Giannis element of it, you know, I was critical of Giannis, but to see him elevate his game with the crescendo with the 50 mm-hmm. points, and then to go to the podium after and say, hey, screw super teams, we're doing it our own way here in Milwaukee, like that made for a more compelling finals. Like, to me, Dan, and maybe I'm being super in the moment, super biased, super cliche, whatever, I have more memories just of that NBA Finals than I do of the entire NBA bubble last year, because yeah. there were so many seminal moments where the bubble, credit to the players, but at the same time, it was just one of those deals where, I don't know, it's just, I don't know, I'm just saying, I don't understand this argument that if LeBron's not in it, we shouldn't be interested. We don't act that way when Tom Brady doesn't make a Super Bowl. I've never understood that, and I thought the Bucks and Suns not only put on a good product, but I thought it was good for the league to get new teams in.
I'll say this, because I do want to run down with everything that we've talked about, 7 NBA stories this offseason that could supersede football talk, because there are stories. I just don't think Kyle Lowry to the Miami Heat is one of them. So in the NBA fan is saying, you guys just spent 15 minutes talking about not wanting to talk about the NBA. I get that. There are certain points, though, that I do think that the NBA would take precedent over the NFL. I'm giving you the 7 outs, so to say, Aaron,
I'm curious.
in this offseason, and no particular order. But we'll start off with Ben Simmons being traded. Like sure. if that happens, that is going to need to be talked about because of just everything that has gone on with him. I will give a pass to Ben Simmons being traded. You talked about Kawhi opting out. I think his decision is a big deal because we've heard Dallas is in the mix of it. If he goes back to LA, it's another, depending on what type of deal he ends up getting. So whatever Kawhi decides to do is worthy of mention. If Damian Lillard gets dealt, that is worthy. So there's three big stories that I'm saying I'm fine with the NBA. Just don't give me your minutia. What about this? If Chris Paul doesn't go to Phoenix.
Sure.
If he goes to Phoenix, who cares? It's kind of what we expected anyway. Now with Russell Westbrook in LA, Lakers are likely out of the picture. We expect Chris Paul to get a new contract, to go back to the Phoenix Suns. But if he doesn't go to Phoenix, that's a story. So that's four. If Carmelo somehow ends up in a Lakers uniform, just because there you go. There's LeBron again, the Lakers conversation, and it's Melo. We can talk about that. And then two more I'll give you. DeMar DeRozan, if he goes somewhere to form a big three, or whatever you want to call a big three. I'm not a big fan of big threes, but if he goes somewhere to try to fortify a title run, maybe to the Clippers, who knows, that could be a story. And finally this one, John Collins. But not if John Collins returns to the Hawks. Only if he leaves, because then we talk about, was it because of Trae Young? Those are the seven moves in the NBA that can be made that could only stop us from talking NFL or college football in the month of August.
So when Cade Cunningham goes for 50 points in summer league in 2 weeks, that's not going to lead any of your shows?
Don't care. Don't care. Don't care at all.
I'm with you.
Leave it till October. Yeah. We need a break.
I don't believe this narrative that because we're sports talk, we have to automatically switch to the NFL come August 1 if interesting things are happening. But yes, I believe that we oversell how much interest there is. As you said, the word you used was minutia, and I think that's an accurate one.
He's Aaron Torres. Find him on Twitter at @Aaron_Torres. You can find me, Dan Beyer, on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. Yeah, it was a bad week for one Major League Baseball team. We'll tell you who that is next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. Hey, Aaron, I've got a baby on my lap.
Okay.
And he didn't like me starting the show with my enthusiasm. So 3-month-old Brody was not a fan of me coming out with the Doug Gottlieb Show intro here on Fox Sports Radio. Did you hear the cries?
Oh no, I thought those NBA fans mad about what we said last segment. So,
one of the advantages of remote broadcasting. So I just had to keep the baby for a couple of minutes, and we came back from the show, and that's the way that it is. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. It is Fox Sports Radio. Joining us now to talk Major League Baseball, and we're a little more than a week away from a huge, huge matchup in the great state of Iowa. We'll dive into that. John Morosi, MLB Network, and of course, contributor here at Fox Sports Radio, joins the program. Hey, John, how are you?
Dan and Aaron, my friends, great to be with you both. We are on this side of the trade deadline, and my friends, it's going to be a 2-month sprint to the playoffs. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch all these new star players in new places, all the new Cubs hitting home runs in their first games with their new teams. All kinds of great stories right now.
Except in San Diego, because I've teased it for the last, 30 minutes. How bad of a week has it been for the San Diego Padres, who missed out on Max Scherzer when maybe we thought that they had him, and now you have Fernando Tatis's injury? How bad are things for San Diego?
Well, it's been a tough period of time, no question about it, because as you point out, at one point in time last week, prior to Friday's 4 p.m. Eastern time trade deadline, the Padres thought that they had Max Scherzer, and they thought they had Joey Gallo, and they ended up being 0-for-2. And that is a pretty difficult set of circumstances, especially when, as you point out, Friday night, Tatis, his left shoulder subluxation happens again. And to be honest, the real concerning word for the Padres is they're not sure if he will play again this season. So there are a lot of storylines right now with the Padres. I guess the one thing you could say is on their behalf, it's a good thing they traded for Adam Frazier when they did, because Frazier is someone that can move around the field, and that allows them to potentially play Frazier at second, Hosmer at first, Jake Cronenworth at short, as long as Tatis is out, with Machado at third, or you can go Machado at short and Jake at third, depending how things play out. But the reality is they should be able to cover at a capable level their infield, but Tatis, as we all know, guys, is one of the most electrifying players in the entire sport, and that is a real challenge for them now. And it's not just looking at the NL West, where the assumption has been for a long time, well, if you finish third, at least you have the wild card. Guys, the Cincinnati Reds are now four games back of the Padres. They've won seven of the last 10 games, and Cincinnati at the moment is playing about as well as anybody else in the National League. So the Padres should not be comfortable at all, given how things look right now in the NL wildcard race.
John, just some clarification on how the Scherzer's thing, and I'm not asking you to break down the report that said that the Padres were near a deal and what happened, but what did happen? Did the Nationals leak it to try to get more from the Dodgers? Did Scherzer, you know, say, you know what, I don't want to go to San Diego, I only want to go to L.A.? How did that transpire leading up to the trade deadline, where we thought Scherzer was going to San Diego, but then now he ends up in Dodger blue?
Well, it's a fair question, Dan, and here's what I can tell you. Obviously, reports came out on Thursday that Scherzer was close to going to the Padres. I believe that at one point in time, he was close, but close is not done. And so I was told as well on Thursday, I was not the first to report this, but I was told that Scherzer was close to going to the Padres. But I do think what happened there was the Dodgers were a little bit, to use Andrew Friedman's word, spooked by that report and then upped their offer, and that Max eventually went to the Dodgers. Now, I will say this. I do think that Max's goal all along was to be a Dodger. That's true. And I remember this well from covering one of Max's former teammates, Justin Verlander, with the Tigers when he was dealt to Houston. And at one point in time, there was a report that said Verlander is not going to go to the Houston Astros. And I believe that Justin, what was happening there was, it wasn't that he had said no to Houston definitively, because obviously he didn't. He went there and won a World Series. He was saying, not yet, not now. And when you have a full no-trade clause and you have multiple teams that you want to go to and you have an order of preference in your mind, you're not going to give your approval until all of the possibilities were exhausted. And so do I think that if the Nationals, and I know Max pretty well from having covered him for a lot of years, if the Padres had gone to Max, the Nationals, and said, listen, we have a deal for you to go to the Padres on Thursday. Do you accept the deal, yes or no? I think Max's answer would have been, not yet, because I really believe the Dodgers are where Max wants to go and wanted to go. And so once obviously it was presented to him, the Dodgers, he said yes, he became a Dodger. But as you saw, it took until about the last 90 minutes before the deadline on Friday to get everything sorted out. And I think as long as Max's first choice, the Dodgers, was in play, he was going to hold off on approving any other destination. And in the end, of course, he went to the team that he wanted to go to all along.
JP Morosi is joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. JP, question for you that's probably pretty basic but probably pretty nuanced. You mentioned the Cubs a minute ago. How did it get so bad so fast? Because I just look back to that 2016 World Series run, and you see the young stars on that team, and I know they had some vets mixed in, but it felt like this was the start of a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year run with Chris Bryant and all those young guys that were part of that organization. They're all essentially gone over the last week. I know it was really a 3, 4, 5-year process, but they made the playoffs last year in the expanded playoff. They made it in 2018. How are we already in fire sale mode with what we thought could be a potential dynasty?
Well, it's a fair question, but I would answer it this way. If you go back to 2017, so they were the reigning World Series champs. Remember, they played that classic 5-game series against the Nationals in the first round of the playoffs. It was 2017, 4 years ago. They win Game 5 in D.C. to reach the NLCS against the Dodgers. Since then, that franchise has won one playoff game. One. They won one game against the Dodgers in that NLCS. I believe it was Game 4 to avoid a sweep. They ended up losing that series in 5. They lost the wild card game the next year to the Rockies in 2018. They missed the playoffs in 19. They were swept by the Marlins rather last year without winning a game in the playoffs. So while you could say that they missed chances to extend guys, I get it. But they'd won one playoff game since the 2017 division series, and that covers the series in 2017, 18, 19, 20, almost four postseasons without winning a game. And so I'm with you. Like, once they won the 2016 World Series, I said, oh, my gosh, here comes the dynasty. But it just never happened. And so there was no point this year where I would have said to a Cubs fan, hey, you know what they really need to do right now is they better throw a ton of money at Rizzo, a ton of money at Bryant, a ton of money at Baez, and a ton of money at Contreras. Because that core has not won. They have not won really any playoff series since early in the 2017 postseason. You have to deal with the reality that's in front of you. And while I'm as surprised as anybody else that they didn't click and keep on winning, you know, Baez became a little too much swing and miss there. And Bryant got hurt last year. And Rizzo has had some good but not great seasons. And they're pitching. Arrieta got old and left and then came back. And Darvish left, obviously, via trade after having a great year last year, but never really delivered on his promise up until last year. They just never really clicked. They never clicked. And there was nothing in the way this team played this year that told me they deserve to stay together any longer because they just weren't getting it done.
John Morosi joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. Talking Major League Baseball, you can get John on Twitter at John Morosi. Before we get to Field of Dreams and what's happening next week with White Sox and Yankees, how deep do you think the AL wildcard chase goes? Does it end at Seattle, who's 3.5 back? Cleveland's sitting there at 6.5 back. Realistically, AL wildcard battle, how deep do we go?
That's a fair question. And I look at it and say, right now, probably the Mariners and Jays are still in it. I mean, certainly they are. They're 3.5 back. But the Indians are not, for me. I mean, they've got a minus 30 run differential. They've traded away some players at the deadline. That is not a playoff team to me. The Angels, not a playoff team. I'm watching the Tigers here in Michigan. They're not a playoff team. So you look at it and say, it's realistically five teams competing for two spots: Red Sox, A's, Yankees, Blue Jays, Mariners. And the Mariners guys, they have struggled now since the Graveman trade, which really, it seems, stung their clubhouse harmony. And if they keep playing like this, they'll be out of this thing by the end of August. And then you're really down to four teams for two spots. And then obviously you have to look at it and say the A's are still competing with the Astros for the division, and the Red Sox and the Yankees are still competing with the Rays for the division there, as are the Blue Jays. So it's an interesting mix of teams, but no, Cleveland's out of it for me, and Seattle had better find their rhythm again, because they were a team, guys, that for me was a deadline loser, because they went out there, they made the Graveman trade, they said, hey, listen, it's all going to make sense by the end of the week, and it seems like they disrupted their clubhouse to get an extra couple of years of control on Diego Castillo beyond what Graveman had. And I get why they did it, but from a human side, guys, it really stung their clubhouse, and I don't know if they're ever going to be able to recover this year.
JP, just real quick, tell us a little bit about the Field of Dreams game that's coming up.
10 days from today, my friends.
Let's
do it. We broadcast live nationally on Fox, the first MLB game ever played in the state of Iowa, and it's going to be played at the Field of Dreams. There's going to be a corn maze, true story, corn maze, that is in between the original movie field and the MLB field, which has been built specifically for this game and hopefully will remain there and be the site of future MLB games and events there. But it is an incredible replica field, not exact replica, but it's brought in some notes from old Comiskey Park in Chicago, because we're going to see the White Sox, yes, the team of Shoeless Joe, are one of the two teams playing there. White Sox, Yankees. And how about we get a chance to watch Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Yoan Moncada, Jose Abreu, taking BP with baseball disappearing into the corn. There's going to be some great people in the great state of Iowa who are finding baseballs in cornfields for months into the winter after what happens next week there in Dyersville, Iowa, at the Field of Dreams.
Is Major League Baseball planning having Ray's brother-in-law walk across the field in the middle of the game, just like the movie? Are we going to have that, even though he would?
Doc Graham
exactly. Timothy Busfield. Good point. Yes. There's no game here. There's no game. Karen, you can't see. Karen, where are the baseball players? So that whole line. I tell you what. Actually, I spoke last year with Timothy Busfield, of course, who portrays Ray's brother-in-law in the movie. And Timothy had some great recollections of that movie. And it has stood the test of time more than 30 years ago. I got to tell you, I was there in May. I drove from the great state of Wisconsin, Dan, as you well know. I drove from there. I had a game in Milwaukee. I drove from Milwaukee to Dyersville. And what a gorgeous place. I got goosebumps. I sat on the bleachers that are still there. The movie field looks exactly as it did in the late 1980s, and there's still an inscription etched into those bleachers, guys. It says, Ray loves Annie. It's a magical place, guys. If you've never been anywhere in the country, I hope if you're driving your car right now and you're in Iowa, go to Dyersville. You can play catch, take BP. I did both those things. It's no VIP thing. Just go there. It's amazing.
I'll say one thing, JP. People will come.
People will come. I love it. The romance of the game, guys. The essence of baseball. It takes you back. It's amazing.
Oh, it's great. I was there about 16 years ago when I moved out to California from Wisconsin. I took the route and went that way and stopped by and wish I could go back. We can't wait to have you back, John. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game next week, and we'll talk to you again.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Have a great week. You got football season coming up. What a great time of year, my friends. Love it.
He's John Morosi, Fox Sports Radio baseball contributor, also the MLB Network. Find him on Twitter at John Morosi.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. To give us today's headlines and what we may have missed, let's go to Brian Fenley with
the press.
All right, Brian, lay it on us. Let's end this baby on a high note.
Let's do it. Speaking of it, is your baby still in your lap?
No.
Okay, because you said baby. I didn't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we were just talking about it during the break, and not to reveal the whole curtain back, but yes. Remotely broadcasting today from home. Baby was in my lap, and my wife didn't realize we were coming back from commercial, and so that's why. He's good, taken care of. We're ready to go.
We are ready to go, and the Bills are ready to pull out of Buffalo. According to reports, there's a leverage game being played here. They want public funding for new stadium, which would cost about $1.5 billion. And here's the thing, Dan and Aaron, they want the public, the taxpayers, to pay for 100% of this because their lease, where they are right now, ends in 2023. Doesn't the Austin Bills just roll off the tongue?
We're safe.
I loved how, like, there is reporting going on, and I apologize if it was Pro Football Talk or whoever asked some Austin, like, city council members, and they had no idea. They didn't hear anything of it. So it was a complete leverage play. And the only thing I'd just have to say is, I know, like, taxpayer money and stuff becomes a big conversation, but if there was ever a city that would want to pay for a facility for their team, I would have to think it would be Bills Mafia and the Buffalo Bills. I just think it seems to be unwarranted leverage being put out there by Bills ownership.
Weird story. I'm with you, Dan. The Bills are not leaving Buffalo. It's not happening.
We're sick.
Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, just tweeted me a pun. Lee, you can throw this one out there.
You could say Buffalo wants fans to flip the Bills for their new stadium.
Ooh, foot the Bills. You could have that one. Yeah, there's very good job, Lee.
Sick.
Not a dad, but the dad jokes are there.
I thought you were going to say something like, don't expect them to spread their wings and fly away, you know, like Buffalo
wings. Oh, very good. Yeah,
that's where I thought you were going with that, Lee.
We got them all here on Fox Sports Radio. Fenley, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, well, no wonder the show is on a teleprompter, because you guys are pulling these jokes like they're being read off a script, but they're not. That's the great thing about live radio.
what was that, Brian?
Ramos, do you give that a thumbs down?
I don't know what that was.
that Bill's pun, you know, much what? Like
Ramos
an
has
Aaron
done
snap.
It again.
Yeah. What does college football great Lou Holtz think about all this? Just kidding. That was a joke from last week. Don't worry about it.
I missed that one.
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm getting upset about this thing. I mean it sincerely.
That's pretty good.
Eagles rookie wide receiver Devontae Smith expected to miss 2 or 3 weeks because of a sprained MCL, and the reports from practice on Saturday when this injury happened. And Dan, this is not editorialism.
No, this is Fenley stirring the pot. Wait, listen in your car. Fenley is about to stir the pot here. Go ahead, Brian.
So the injury happened on practice on Saturday night when Smith was diving for the ball, trying to gather a wobbly duck into the turf from Jalen Hurts and was not able to reel it in.
Fenley took the artistic freedom. It was just a pass that was low. And so now the whole thing, you know, Philadelphia is totally getting on Jalen Hurts' case for his accuracy, because now it may cost Devontae Smith a few weeks because of his knee injury. If there wasn't anything more Philadelphia than that, I don't know what is.
Yeah, my only real takeaway is I just feel bad for Eagles fans. I mean, they can't keep a wide receiver healthy even in the preseason.
Yeah, I feel bad because they're really good people. They don't take cheap shots at anybody.
Not all of them are bad.
They act with such great class during sporting events.
Maybe if they had better luck, they'd be nicer, you know?
Oh, man.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. That was Brian Fenley with the press. All right. No Carson Wentz for at least the first part of the season. Do you think the Colts are a playoff team, Aaron Torres, even without their starting quarterback to start the year?
I will say with the extra playoff berth, yeah, yes.
I agree with you, and I still think that the Colts could go far. This has been the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.